This is Senator Al Simpson. The immigration law just signed by President Bush will dramatically expand the number of people coming to America in search of a new life. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, this year you and I joined forces to help complete the first overhaul of America's legal immigration system in 25 years. Besides continuing to favor immigrants with family connections in the U.S., the new visa policy gives equal treatment to skilled workers who can then help us fill some crucial labor shortages. Visas will also be granted to some for special intellectual ability and talents which can flourish in a free society. Ted, the new Immigration Act will also grant new visas to nations which have been overlooked for decades, including your Ireland, Bigora. That should make the whole Kennedy clan happy. But best of all, these new policies will help to guarantee that America's tradition of immigration continues to strengthen our national fabric. Good work there, Teddy, my boy.
Al, mark your calendar. It's one of those days we're facing off in the same direction. You yourself deserve credit for the new immigration law. The Simpson leopard changed its right-wing spots. You antagonized the know-nothings in your party. They'd put out the light on the Statue of Liberty if they could, but you upheld the best in our heritage, Al. These reforms end much of the discrimination in current law. More immigrants can come in from countries that contributed immensely to America in the past. It's said that under every railroad tie to the West, an Irishman is buried. The law also helps unite families, reducing barriers for people waiting in other lands to join relatives here. Immigration has always meant new citizens with new skills to build up America. It can work its magic again and make us more competitive. You saw the light this time, Al. Try to see it on other issues. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Peace in the Persian Gulf. It's too soon for war. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. War may still be avoidable in the Persian Gulf if the administration listens to Congress. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush has no right to arrogate the war power to himself. Under the Constitution, only Congress has the power to declare war. Other countries may be willing to fight to the last American, but a vote by the United Nations is no substitute for a vote by Congress. War should be a last resort, Al, and we're clearly not there yet. Sanctions are still working. The January 15 deadline is creating a momentum for war that is unnecessarily risking the lives of tens of thousands of our troops. We all hope the Baker mission succeeds, but giving peace a chance means more than going to Baghdad. It also means giving sanctions a chance. If President Bush thinks he can go to war on January 15th without the support of Congress and the country, Al, he hasn't learned the lesson of Vietnam.
Who's going to war January 15th? The rotten hype you pour out, Ted. What if a Democrat were in the White House trying to pry Hussein out of Kuwait? I doubt you'd be blasting daily criticism and sarcasm like you do at George Bush. Most advisors now agree we can't hope to force Iraq into submission after only a few months of sanctions. After all, you're talking about a steel-tough people who learned to live with terrible shortages and rations for 10 years. Sanctions alone could take 2 years to work, and frankly, Ted, I don't think you or our present friends have the stomach to let any standoff last that long. After all, your shallow personal support of Bush, strong at first, lasted 38 days. Timid Ted. Since then, you and your Democrat buddies have lost sleep trying to make political hay about the risks and responsibility our fine president has chosen to accept. Be a good citizen and not a sniping politician. Is that really possible for you? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the Conventional Arms Agreement signed in Europe last month in Paris. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. East met West in peace in Paris last month and signed a stunning arms reduction pact to destroy instruments of war. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, with all the continued crisis in the Middle East, hardly anybody really noticed the Paris Peace Conference. 22 leaders of the NATO and Warsaw Pact countries signed a conventional arms control treaty which assures the destruction of stacks of military hardware. Since the Warsaw Pact had built up a clear superiority in conventional weapons over NATO for decades, the treaty signifies in stark terms the end of the Cold War and the beginning of a sweeping new era of peace in Europe. Ted, while you were ranting and ripping out your hair, mine has been ripped out, that Bush is a warmonger and raving on about the Middle East, you forgot to give credit for peace elsewhere in the world, and it's the Bush administration leading the way. Sort of takes the wind out of your sails and your words, doesn't it? But you'll just keep huffing and puffing.
Fortunately, Al, the Cold War ended, not with a bang, but a whimper. That agreement reducing conventional forces in Europe is an outstanding achievement, even if it was also an anticlimax. As National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft put it, the treaty means that a surprise attack on NATO is now virtually impossible. The worst NATO nightmare of the past 40 years has finally ended. The dramatic changes in Europe and the Soviet Union left those arms control negotiators hurrying to catch up with the reality. The Russians were leaving anyway. The Berlin Wall had come down. The Warsaw Pact was a dead letter. Mostly, the agreement ratified force reductions already taking place. Like it or not, Al, a Persian Gulf shadow does hang over that agreement. If the Cold War has ended and a new world order is being born, why start it off with war in the Middle East? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the surprising miscalculations in our Persian Gulf policy last July. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Our policy in the Persian Gulf today is paying a high price for our miscalculations in the past. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, we'd all have a lot more confidence in the administration's policy on the Persian Gulf if they hadn't miscalculated so seriously in the past. On the very eve of Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, the administration was still strongly opposing attempts by Congress to impose sanctions on Iraq. The administration was also ignoring reports of Iraq's military buildup. They instructed our ambassador in Iraq to keep working with Saddam. She told him that Iraq's border dispute with Kuwait was of no real concern to the United States. The rest is history, Al. We badly misjudged Saddam's intentions. That's why Congress and the country should give sanctions enough time to work. The administration underreacted last summer, Al. Let's not overreact now by going to war too soon.
When is it ever a good time for war, Ted? How soon we forget, but in your case it looks like a case of fake amnesia. Don't you remember praising George Bush for his quick thinking and swift action which stopped Hussein at Saudi Arabia's border? But Ted, before you start spouting all that tripe that Pentagon planners were caught off guard, maybe you should take a little trip down old memory lane. For more than a decade, you led the charge in Congress against selling AWACS radar and Sidewinder missiles to Saudi Arabia. Back in 78, you voted against the sale of the F-15 fighter jets. In 1981, you bragged before the Union of Hebrew Congregations, saying, and I quote, "I will vote and speak and work against the AWACS sale and all the other parts of this dangerous arms sale to Saudi Arabia." Ted, America was prepared to meet the threat of Saddam Hussein, but thanks to Ted Kennedy, Saudi Arabia surely was not. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Castro's continuing resistance to change in Cuba. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. With the Soviet Union reeling in its own economic woes, Cuba is really feeling the Kremlin's pinch. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, during this dramatic past year, democratic freedom has taken giant steps. Free elections, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Germany reunited, Warsaw Pact dissolved. And yet for one ragged communist dictatorship, Cuba, the hope for greater freedom is still but a dream. Instead of seeing and reading the handwriting on the Berlin Wall, Castro refuses to reform. The situation has become so bad that office workers in Havana are now being marched off in three-week shifts to plant and harvest crops. Markets are closed and food is rationed. Ted, Castro's days are indeed numbered. But instead of prolonging his abuse of humanity, let's make certain the bearded boob's slick request for U.S. aid and cooperation goes unheard until the same democratic seeds that swept on the winds through Eastern Europe can take deep root in Cuba.
Al, your hardline views will only delay, not encourage, the result we all want: freedom, free enterprise, and democracy for Cuba. It's hard to believe Cuba can remain immune much longer from the changes sweeping the rest of the communist world. The time may be coming when U.S. policy can facilitate change in Cuba. In fact, the two sides are finally talking. Secretary of State Baker met in New York in November with Cuba's foreign minister on the eve of the United Nations vote on the Persian Gulf. Cuba refused to support our position on Iraq, but at least the seeds of high-level contacts between the U.S. and Cuba were planted. One thing we do know, Al, the Cuban economy is suffering more and more deeply, and the Soviet Union is unlikely and unable to keep propping it up. What Castro could use most from the Soviets is less economic aid and more glasnost and perestroika. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next with a Christmas Day message. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy with a Christmas Day wish for peace on earth and goodwill to all men, including Senator Al Simpson. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, Merry Christmas to the Simpsons in Wyoming from all the Kennedys here on Cape Cod. Dylan Thomas wrote his classic poem about a child's Christmas in Wales. And if he were here, he might call it a child's Christmas in Hyannisport, with all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren gathered here for the holiday. My mother, Rose, turned 100 years old last July, so this is her 101st Christmas. She's doing very well. She's been telling us stories of old-fashioned Christmases when she was growing up in Boston at the turn of the century. Our special thoughts today are with the American forces on duty far from home. Peace on earth is a powerful message across the years from the Middle East, Al. May it be heard and heeded there today, where it is needed the most.
Ted, of all the many languages spoken throughout the course of man's life on the earth, each culture has always found the need to fashion a word for peace. In any country, peace represents the burning desire and ideal of all persons to live in harmony and freedom and goodwill with their fellow man. As America today celebrates Christmas and Hanukkah, in this blessed season as we look forward to a new year, let us find the way to spread the message and meaning of peace into our daily lives and to the work we do in the Congress. I'm in Cody, Wyoming today, Ted, you in Massachusetts, enjoying the special day with our wonderful families. Join me in winging out our thoughts and prayers for all Americans in the Middle East who have put their very lives on the line to take a stand for freedom and who voluntarily serve to preserve peace on earth. God bless them, each and every one, this special day. And from me to you, Ted, a steady friend, Merry Christmas. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on ranchers who pay for the use of grazing cattle on public land. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Western ranchers who graze public lands for summer pasture have become the target of rabid environmental groups who chant cattle free in 93. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, it was the old cowboy who first found a productive use for America's desolate, wide open spaces. Generations later, these very same ranches still depend on the public land for grazing, and they pay a fee. The feds already limit the number of cows to prevent overgrazing. That's a pretty good deal for the taxpayer, since the rancher also has the burden of maintenance. But now the extremist groups have launched a new campaign, Cattle Free in 93, No More Moo in 92, to deny ranchers any use of the federal land. Ted, while the farmers get billions of bucks in cash payments, the cowboy gets zip. We can at least assure him access to summer pastures. Pull the ring out of your nose, Ted. Don't let those silly environmental groups bull you around.
Al, the grass may not be greener, but the money is. As usual, old knee-jerk Simpson is against the environment and for business profits, this time for the benefit of ranches, even though massive continuing overgrazing is leaving public lands irreparably damaged. I'm not for putting ranches out of business, but I don't want to put the environment out of business either. 250 million acres of public lands are at risk. Those acres are owned by the federal government, not the ranchers. The government has a responsibility to preserve those lands, Al. More than half of them are in poor condition because of overuse, excessive grazing, and ineffectual federal management. They're ripping off the taxpayers, too. The grazing fees the government charges for public lands are only one-fifth what ranches must pay on private lands. You didn't even graze the real issue today, Al. Reforms are needed. Stop standing in the way. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the uncatchy new Republican slogan. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Republicans have coined an inscrutable slogan for their party, the new paradigm. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, we'll see in the State of the Union speech whether President Bush endorses the curious new paradigm slogan that some of his White House advisors are pushing. It's supposed to be the Republican answer to the New Deal and the New Frontier, but mostly it's warmed over Reagan schemes that were floated and failed in the 1980s. Empowerment is an important concept. People need more control over their daily lives, and Democrats have been supporting that idea for years. But too often in Republican hands, ideas like vouchers and school choice mean leaving disadvantaged Americans worse off than before. Helping citizens to do more should not become an excuse for government doing less. Survival of the fittest is unacceptable social policy, Al. The new paradigm is just a fancy right-wing word for the same old Republican neglect.
Ted, a paradigm is better than a paradox. It means a model, an ideal, a standard. Instead of pinning labels on Republicans, you ought to shudder about a poll taken this year showing 60% of Americans can't name a single issue directly tied to the actions or beliefs of the Democratic Party. Talk about a lack of direction and leadership, wandering in the wilderness. Hearing that news threw you poor liberals into such a tizzy that Senator Metzenbaum went out and started up a new organization, Coalition for Democratic Values. He tried to crank up the group last spring, but it took 6 months to get enough interest for the kickoff, which finally came off in October. At that time, Metzenbaum said, and I quote, "The future of the Democratic Party cannot rest on Democrats acting like Republicans, talking like Republicans, and voting like Republicans." Sounds like the Democratic Party could use some epoxy or smart pills. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the new benefits to help children as included in the much-maligned budget agreement. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Chalk one up for the kids. This year's budget package includes some new and needed services for children. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Congress took one giant step forward to help those too young to help themselves. In the much-maligned budget agreement just passed, innovative and expanded programs for children were approved. By the end of this decade, all young persons living below the poverty line will be covered by Medicaid. The package also included scholarships for health professionals wanting to serve in rural areas, and the WIC program to keep many underprivileged tots fed and healthy also got a good boost. And finally, a new child care tax credit gives parents the option to work or stay home, something they sure didn't have before. Ted, the budget agreement shows we can meet real needs and still make sure that when these kids grow up, the country won't be broke, a result your obsessive welfare state program surely could never guarantee.
Al, you're right to recognize the worthwhile provisions in the budget deal for children, but as you well know, all of those provisions were Democratic initiatives included in the package at the insistence of Democrats in Congress. The budget debate opened a huge credibility gap for President Bush and the Republicans. While Democrats were insisting that any tax increases had to be fair, you and the White House were scheming to protect the wealthy with a capital gains tax cut for the rich. And while Democrats were insisting on more protections for working Americans, the elderly and the poor, you and the White House were pushing for deep cuts in Medicare, even deeper cuts in other social programs, and greater spending by the Pentagon on wasteful, gold-plated weapon systems like Star Wars and B-2 bombers. The budget deal was fair to children and the vast majority of Americans, Al, but no thanks to your unfair Republican schemes. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next with New Year's resolutions for 1991. Will he turn over a new leaf? Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. As we ring out the old year, it's time to set priorities for 1991. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, as 1990 heads for the exit, most of us say good riddance. We have our hands full trying to avoid war overseas and recession at home. In 1991, we'll also have to address other needs we've neglected, providing more assistance for families, greater opportunity for all Americans, and investing more wisely in the future. That means action in essential areas like jobs, civil rights, education, and health care. New job programs are needed to deal with rising unemployment and unfair discrimination in the workplace. Millions of Americans deserve access to decent health insurance. Elderly Americans need help with long-term care. We also need to concentrate on early childhood education and upgrading schools and colleges. We may not be able to finish the job in 1991, but at least we can start.
Ted, another fine wish list, but it's lacking the most important items, common sense and the budget deficit. You always prattle that you want to help, but you and your Democratic cronies were adamantly against a capital gains tax. In fact, that was the final sticking point that caused the rupture of the budget summit. You'd rather raise America's taxes than listen to a perfectly good Republican idea. We both know in our gut that the problem is not insufficient taxation, it's runaway spending. So why do you fight giving the president the control he needs with the line item veto? Come on, pal. The American people elected George Bush to make the decisions. Let him. democratically controlled Congress will never lead us into economic prosperity. So, Ted, are you going to show a little New Year's resolve and help us, or just sit back with a big cigar and sing an off-key chorus of Auld Lang Syne? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a list of New Year's resolutions that Ted should very seriously consider. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. With a brand new year comes the age-old tradition of amending bad habits with future promises and actions. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, since I know that a perceived level of perfection will prevent you from jotting down a list of New Year's resolutions, I've decided to give you a hand and make out the list for you. You ready? Repeat after me. I, Ted Kennedy, will not bash Republicans and will finally admit that Republicans are the guardians of responsible fiscal policy. I will learn to like and support any Supreme Court nomination that is sent to the Senate by the White House. I will renounce all of my welfare state policies and will work very hard to pass a cut in the capital gains tax to stimulate the economy and pull us back to the boom years. And finally, I will not say anything bad or nasty about George Bush. There you are, Ted. I promise if you don't break any of those resolutions that 91 will surely be one to remember. I'm a real dreamer, ain't I? A happy and peaceful New Year, Ted, to you, your family, and the world.
Happy New Year to the Simpsons, Al, and all our listeners. But I certainly gagged when I heard all those right-wing Republican resolutions you cooked up for me. Next time you're on your psychiatrist's couch, Al, your shrink will explain what transferring all those resolutions onto me really means. You're trying to drive them out of your own thinking because they have no basis in reality. Responsible Republican fiscal policy? That's an oxymoron, Al. While you're trying to figure out what happened to your Republican fiscal policy, the rest of us are fighting your Republican recession. As for your Republican capital gains tax cut, it may stimulate the rich, Al, but it won't help all the other Americans who need help the most. With misguided priorities like those, Al, the minority status of the Republican Party is safe. That means 1991 is off to a good start for the country. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on an idea whose time is coming. Guaranteed college education. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A new report demonstrates that students are less likely to drop out of secondary school if they know college is available and affordable. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a recent report by the respected Congressional General Accounting Office analyzed a number of private sector pilot programs that have sprung up in recent years to encourage students to stay in school. One focus of the study was ideas like I Have a Dream Foundation, which guarantee to pay for college if students finish high school. The idea has promise, Al. According to the study, it's keeping students in the classroom, even in elementary school. Sixth graders are smart enough to stay in school if they're convinced the possibility of college is really in their future. Federal education programs try to provide that kind of guarantee, but we defaulted in the 1980s. Join me, Al. If we can guarantee SNLs, Star Wars, and B-2 bombers, we can guarantee college education, too.
Oh, Ted, why is it you think we always short-sheet education in America? We spend a ton on it. It's obvious that a kid will hang in there if they have a real hope of getting to college, but you miss the whole point of the GAO report. It clearly stated that this hope and dream is best met by private sector programs and not by the federal government jumping in and always trying to call the shots. Ted, don't forget that kids right now are guaranteed an education through the 12th grade, and the reason many drop out is because school just doesn't mean a whit to them. If we're not careful, we could end up creating the same kind of apathy toward college and grad school. Ted, let's always keep college special. Let's reach out to the kid who thinks he can't make it and give him or her a hand. After all, people don't always appreciate something unless it's a little hard to come by. But for heaven's sakes, let's not make college just four more dull years after high school. Make them learn. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the sad news that most Americans are flunking geography. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. America can put a man on the moon, but most of our citizens still struggle with geography right here on Earth. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, vivid events happen around the world every day that have a direct bearing on the way we live. As we speak, hundreds of thousands of American troops are deployed in Saudi Arabia. Yet during a recent Gallup survey, 75% of Americans asked couldn't even locate the Persian Gulf on a map. Ted, America is totally flunking geography. Tests given nationwide to high school seniors pathetically show that one student in four couldn't find the Pacific Ocean, and that one in seven didn't even know where the United States was on the map. Ted, if people don't even know where they are, how can they make any intelligent choices about where they want their lives to go, let alone the world's course? You are the chairman of the Senate committee that oversees education. Why hasn't your crew tackled this serious problem? Too much drudgery and not enough cameras?
Al, if you'd stop making snide comments and start doing your homework, you'd find Democrats have been taking the lead on education reform, including geography. No one's been more effective than Senator Bill Bradley of New Jersey. Many schools are putting geography back in their curriculums. It practically disappeared as a separate subject after World War II. It was blended into social studies and other disciplines. Teachers stopped teaching it and pupils stopped learning it. Now geography is making a comeback because of its obvious importance in educating the next generation and helping us deal with our interdependent world. What we don't know can hurt us. Our lack of understanding of other countries starts with ignorance of geography. We don't know where they are, let alone who they are or what they're doing. Too often events take us by surprise. People who couldn't locate the Persian Gulf 6 months ago, Al, sure know where it is today. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on Civil Rights Yes, Quotas No. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Republicans are taking the low road on civil rights. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the battle lines are already being drawn for the Civil Rights Act of 1991. Once again, Republicans are lining up on the far right side instead of on the right side. Every day in communities across America, millions of women and minorities become victims of race or sex discrimination on the job. That's unacceptable, Al. We need strong legislation to stop that kind of bias once and for all. The White House calls it a quota bill, but the quotas charge is hogwash. Women and minorities deserve equal opportunity at a workforce free from discrimination. They're not asking for quotas or any other special treatment. They want a fair chance to get a job and provide for their families. Don't fall for the quota charge, Al. That's Willie Horton, David Duke, Jesse Helms stuff. It's Republican race-baiting at its worst, dividing the country over race for partisan advantage.
Race-baiting was not a Republican invention. Ted, race and sex discrimination is right now illegal in these United States, and it is completely deceptive for you to suggest that women and minorities don't now enjoy vital protection from job discrimination. So stop chanting that old divisive race rhetoric. For someone who is always chirping about support of equality for all and racial harmony, your wails of racial woe only serve to confuse people to thinking they don't have well-guaranteed rights. Ted, your Kennedy coercive quiet quota bill was a miserable flop. Americans want to be hired because they're the best darn people for the job. Fight on for individual rights, not for a quota system that gives minority groups special rights over those of the rest of the folks in the country. Ted, you can work along with us to make equality our real goal for all Americans, or you can keep pouting and promising special treatment for the few. You decide. I'm ready to get down to work. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. While some unrepentant AIDS activists claim that President Bush doesn't care a whit about finding a cure for AIDS, nothing could be further from the truth. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the Bush administration, and before it, the Reagan administration, has been deeply committed in the fight against AIDS. Government spending jumped from $200,000 in 1981 to $3.2 billion last year. This means the federal government now spends more to fight AIDS than it does to research heart disease or cancer. Ted, rabid AIDS activists should stop giving the Bush administration a bum rap, especially when they falsely claim that no money is being spent on AIDS. The truth is that a flood of the government's research dollars is a good investment that will surely double or triple mankind's knowledge of viruses, knowledge that will help then battle all diseases and cancers. Will you honestly tell it like it is, Ted, or keep babbling that old myth about Republicans not caring about tragic AIDS victims?
Al, you're misinformed. The Reagan administration was terrible on AIDS. They waited until 35,000 Americans were dead before they said the word out loud. The Bush administration has gone from do nothing to do too little. That was no extremist critic the other day. It was C. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General. He knows an epidemic when he sees one. While you fiddle, Al, AIDS is breaking the back of the healthcare system. Dozens of urban hospitals are facing collapse, trying desperately to deal with AIDS and drug abuse. In rural America, where AIDS is increasing fastest, even a few cases can overwhelm local hospitals. Standing in place means falling farther behind. We need to invest more in AIDS care and treatment, and more in research. That doesn't mean pitting illnesses against one another. Heart disease and cancer are important, but so is AIDS. Let's join together and find better answers faster for each of these diseases. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.